Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be gamer.
BGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 372, recorded on December 19th, 2014.
To the 372nd edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and the 205th holiday episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am Paul S. Novak.
And I am Jonah Falcon.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry and includes gaming history.
No, it doesn't include a gaming history. That's
well, sometimes it does. It is, although perhaps once in a while it will include the gifts of Christmas past.
So yeah, the reason why there was no podcast last week is that I was traveling to California, and it was going to be impossible to edit the podcast, so I just said, we'll just have to skip a week.
These things, they happen. It's the holidays. People yeah. are understanding.
Well, this will be the last podcast before Christmas.
Last podcast before Christmas?
And this is actually during Hanukkah, I think. And we'll have
most likely the last podcast of the year.
Okay. A lot has happened in the past 2 weeks, and not most notably this past week. But before we get into that, what have you been playing, Paul?
I have been playing a lot of Dungeon Keeper, and unfortunately, I used to have some pretty good things to say about it. But it seems that over the last 2 weeks or so, they have been tinkering with the economy almost daily.
That's not a good sign.
So no, it really isn't. So it's like, by the time you save up for something that costs, 50,000 gold on Monday, by the time you get that gold on Tuesday, it's a different price. It's now 75,000. It's like, okay, come on.
It's like bait and switch.
It's like I understand you're tweaking, but can you do all of your tweaks at once on the test server? Maybe save it locally first. just because I'm really tired of getting $10,000 incremental increases on a particular unit type,
Right.
I don't like that the Dark Mistresses keep charging more, frankly.
Oh, baby.
I know, right?
You ever
But you know what? I'm not irritated enough to have been turned off by the game only because they seem to be running with some additional holiday content. Oh, and I've been playing a lot of Kitchen Scramble again, speaking of holiday content.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
Did you get new content
Oh yes, we now have the village of Candyfornia.
Okay.
With sugar cookies and gumdrops to make.
Oh, is this Christmas themed?
Yes.
Okay. My fruit ninja is still Halloween based with the Ghostbusters. Although I do like Ghostbusters, so I just hope they keep it that way for a while.
and I've been informed that I will be Simpsons tapped out sitting for my host in Palm Springs.
Okay. So
so apparently while he's busy making Christmas dinner, I'll be tapping out.
I haven't been playing much because of the trip. I mean, I play a little bit of NBA 2K15, but really, I'm still getting back into the swing of things here. There is an asterisk though. I did I'm gonna be giving my cousins, I don't know if I mentioned this, who have grown up to be gamers. See, my cousins' kids, I'm not an uncle because I'm not a brother or sister. Their kids right. still consider my cousins. So my younger
But do cousin, they but do they call you Uncle Jonah?
No.
Oh, see, that wouldn't stand in my family.
They're 17 and 18. The 18-year-old is going to college and has a Wii U, and I'm getting her Super Smash Brothers Wii U.
Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be gamers.
Uh-huh. And the 17-year-old who wants to be an actor, he's getting NHL 15 for his PS3.
Well, okay then.
Yeah, so she's a diehard Wii U, and he plays on Steam and the PS3 and whatever consoles that he has. So he's dyed-in-the-wool gamer, and he wants to be an actor, so good luck to him.
Oh, your heart kind of breaks for them a little bit every time they say that, doesn't it?
Well, he's going to study communication, so at least there's a background there. So before we get into the, you know, the game news that I have listed, we're going to get into the really major news, since it involves Sony, which I did not make any podcast notes because this thing is expanded in so many ways.
Because by the time you put notes together, the story will have changed already.
Oh, it's already changed again. I'll explain that. But in short,
but at the point that we are at in the controversy right now, what's the latest?
We still need some background before we do the latest. Okay. So, Sony. Now let's go back to April of 2011. Right? Okay. Sony was hacked by Anonymous.
That was 3 years ago.
Yeah. 3.5 years ago, actually. PlayStation Network was down.
Oh, right. And this is the one that they never confirmed was, you know, that anything was wrong up until...
They didn't say anything was wrong, even though they knew something was wrong. The year before that, George Hotz cracked the PlayStation 3 so that anybody can play on it. Anyway, with this outage, not many people realize this, but Sony Pictures also got hacked in 2011 as well. And
Now that didn't make news on our show, did it?
Well, it wasn't video game related.
Right. No.
So
I'm just saying, like, that. I know that I only get my source from the VGRT Gaming podcast.
So Sony got sued, and they had to pay. Yikes. They had to pay an action. And they also had to pay governments fines because, you know, they screwed up big time because they jeopardized people's information.
Right.
So, okay. Yeah.
I'm just gonna accept that as past fact.
So what happens is that they instituted a "you cannot sue me" clause in PSN. Right. Now, one of the things about that PSN outage was that England and some other countries, including the United States, found them grossly negligent.
Grossly negligent. Okay.
Yes, in protecting their systems, because what happens was that people, had their credit cards account information hacked into, and
oh, absolutely,
PlayStation Network account info hacked into, and all that. Okay, so skip ahead 3 years. 3 years. And basically the same damn thing happened again. This time it was influenced by them. Now, we all know about the interview, and it's been pulled off the shelves, and Sony...
The movie The Interview, not an actual interview.
Yes, the Seth Rogen film. And some gaming group, and I forgot the name of it. It's Friends of Whatever. I don't care. I don't want to empower them by naming who they are. Apparently backed by North Korea, although there are some doubts that it was, and that some... Some people actually think it was the United States is lying that it's backed by North Korea.
Yeah, I don't. Well, those are people who, you know, don't believe the government no matter what they say. No. But hasn't the CIA come out and said that North Korea is behind it?
In this case, actually, it's tech sites who find it hard to believe that they could have that they could have gotten this kind of access this quickly. That the time.
Well, that's why hasn't the latest news reports been saying things like they had someone on the inside and
that you'd have to. And the thing is, it could still be North Korea, and they had a North Korean on the inside. I mean, it's not unknown. I mean, I'm pretty sure Sony hires Koreans, you know. But that's neither.
Sony will hire anybody who can do a job.
Well, that's neither here nor there. What also happened was that PlayStation Network got, well, for one thing, Sony Pictures got hacked, and some pretty embarrassing emails were released. The other thing is that PlayStation Network also got hacked again. The thing that we all have to wonder is, what did Sony do in the past 3 years to increase their security? And the answer from many people is...
Please tell me it's more than nothing.
Nothing.
Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely nothing. And also... What's interesting is that they're stupid in so many ways. For instance, when one department got hacked, they would have to, you know, combat it. But what they would not do is they would not protect the other departments around it. So there's one department being hacked. Sony fixes that, but doesn't bother to fix the other departments that might be next.
Oh, that doesn't sound like a really swift idea.
Yeah. Famously, and I know that this burns me, and it probably burns you too, that Sony is adamant they're not going to release the interview under any circumstances. because they want to appease North Korea. And the reason for that, actually, is you have to understand that Sony's a Japanese company, and there's some strained relations between Japan and North Korea.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, you know, being American and a little bit, you know, national-centric, it's easy to forget that Sony has a different perspective on the whole situation, but being a Japanese company.
These hackers also claimed that they would attack theaters that would be like 9/11, which I scoff at. Because one thing, these are hackers. Okay? What are they going to do? I mean, it doesn't work that way. You know, you actually have to have manpower. You can't program a computer to explode. That's number one. Number two, we're talking about North Korea.
You know, private, I think it puts them in absolutely the worst possible position. Because, I mean, what do? Not take it seriously?
Well...
And then something horrible happens?
Well, here's the other thing, is that Sony also refuses to release it on VOD or, you know, and what could they do then if it's not in theaters? People are just buying it online, right? The other thing is that we're talking about a country whose leader claims to have had perfect golf games in which he had a hole-in-one in every hole. And Kim Jong-un also claims to have a 3-foot penis. So, honestly, I can't take any of that seriously. And like I said... You know, who are they going to bomb?
Well, you know what? Here's the thing, though. Like, what can you possibly do? As someone who's responsible for making decisions like this, you have to go by worst case scenario.
They'd have to cross the ocean for one.
Well, yeah, okay.
And
not if they've got computer hackers.
North Korea is extremely cowardly. We run exercises to remind them, don't even think about it. You know, we regularly run exercises in which we blow up stuff just outside their nation to let them know, you know what, you try and you even breathe funny, we'll bomb you back to the Stone Age.
Yeah, do you really want to be the person who has to make that call, whether or not you started it?
Does North Korea. Anyway, this is...
I'm just saying.
This is neither here nor there. I mean, you have the idea that you're going to kowtow to a terrorist or dictator about what movies you're allowed to see. I mean, could you imagine?
Yeah, that's the part of this that kind of really bothers me. Like, if we could, in a perfect situation, remove the thought of loss of life over something as ridiculous as a movie. I mean, who is some other foreign person to censor American cinema among its own citizens?
Well, remember, you know, we did do a movie about trying to assassinate Noriega. That was Loaded Weapon. We did a movie that involved North Korea.
Team USA. American
World Police.
Oh, yeah, Team USA.
That as well. And that really angered people, actually, even more than the interview. Because the interview, the thing about the interview, it's a stoner comedy. And Kim Jong-un is actually portrayed kind of sympathetically in the film. This is a classic case of people not actually having seen the film. You know,
well, I mean, not really like they had a chance to.
Well, no, I mean, no, it had been screened for critics, and Richard Corliss describes what happened in the film and all that stuff. It's not like they burned every copy, right?
Right, but it's not like the public has had a chance to before.
Now, here's commenting. Could you imagine the Nazis say what's it called, forcing Jack Benny not to release To Be or Not to Be, or Charlie Chaplin not releasing The Dictator? Or Renoir not releasing The Name of the Game. All these movies.
Here's part of the problem. In a dictatorship, the first thing you do is cut off the arts. Because artists are unconventional, they'll speak out in thought-provoking ways. I'm always wary of any time that I see artists being silent.
That's the problem. We're not supposed to be...
Right, exactly.
And the thing is that, you know what? All of this is making Sony look extremely bad from many angles.
But there's no angle from the position that they put in where they can come out of it looking good.
For one thing, Hollywood is really annoyed with Sony. Really annoyed. I mean, you can imagine what Angelina Jolie said.
What'd she say?
Oh, well, the usual stuff. I'm not gonna repeat it here because I don't have it in front of me. But good luck to Sony to getting, you know, people interested in doing films for you, or at least anything that's in, you know, that's even moderately edgy. You know?
Yeah, they they might end up becoming viewed as more safe than Disney.
Their own executives are going to be are suing them now. So here's the thing. They already got a slap on the wrist in 2011. They're not going to get a slap on the wrist now.
No, they're probably going to take a pretty big hit this time. If there are any, like...
Yeah.
You know, domestic repercussions.
They've already lost a crap ton of money by not releasing the interview.
I mean, yeah, it took like $45 million to make.
Even more.
All of which is gone now.
The budget was $30 million for the film, but they also did roughly $30 million of advertising and promotion. And then there's
it was over budget.
They estimated that the film was probably going to make $150 to $170 million because Seth Rogen is very popular. And it's the sort of movie people go ape for, the Seth Rogen fans, right? It's a stoner film, you know. It's not very political at all. It's just these two guys who are bumbling around. And, I mean,
it sounds like kind of a similar premise to John Candy's Spies Like Us.
Yeah, but the problem with that is that they didn't...
Two ordinary kind of doofy guys get kind of caught up in a situation of being super spies. What was it? There was another one, Christian Bale in If Looks Could Kill.
I never saw that film, but...
It's the same thing. This teenager on a European vacation gets mistaken for a James Bond-type secret agent.
Oh, wait. Was this in the 80s?
Yeah, it was in the late 80s, early 90s. Okay, he ends up having to fight like this supervillain.
Here's a question.
And basically all the gadgets are doing it for him.
Here's a question. Is there a point in which he's dressed like a punk because he has to cross the border? And they have to look at his passport and he had to fake a passport?
I don't think so. I don't remember. Okay. I don't think so.
So, anyway.
But I'm just saying, like, it sounds like a fairly unoriginal concept to begin with.
And also, PlayStation Network got hacked again. So, people, you know, I think they're going to have to decide, you know what, I'm never going to keep my credit card on that. If I do have PlayStation Network, I'm just going to use cards.
You know what? It wouldn't surprise me if after a second major game security breach like this, I mean, particularly from Sony, but in general within the last 5 years, that people are going to think twice before doing any online purchasing for video games.
The other issue is Sony is not making that much money. I think they're actually slightly in the black now. So here, I don't know the numbers exactly, but I think Sony was like fined $170 million all told combined. So I have to wonder the amount they're going to be sued now. And the thing is that it's not a healthy company. I mean, I think they're slightly in the black, you know? And I can't imagine how much money they're going to lose over this and if it might be fatal. It's interesting to find out. We'll just have to sit and wait and see because, you know, we've talked about the death of so many companies and they just managed to spring back. But I don't know. This is something that, you know... Like I said, Hollywood isn't exactly pleased with Sony right now.
Well, I can imagine.
The latest I heard is that now Sony is sort of saying, maybe we'll have a VOD. We just, you know, and they have to find a distributor. Netflix has said no comment. So I think maybe you'll have it on Netflix.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to stay buried forever. I mean, it'll probably stay buried for quite a while.
Well, here's the thing.
Forever.
At least... After when that regime is gone, and you know.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It'll be oh, the banned film.
And blah, here's blah, the blah. Thing: is that it's not really that edgy a film.
No, it's really not. See, the problem is that
it names names. That's the only thing that it said. You know that it did that. You know, they could have done it in a fictional Asian country with a fictional dictator, who's Kim Jong Un and everything but name. You know.
Yeah, it's just, it's a shame.
Anyway.
It's a shame.
But like I said, we're going to have to keep abreast of this situation because, you know, it involves Sony.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of bad things may happen. And, you know, they've been spending money on a lot of exclusives. I mean, they got the exclusive, I don't know if it's permanent or if it's just for a year for Street Fighter V, and that couldn't have been cheap. You know, Street Fighter V is a huge game,
right?
So, anyway,
yeah, I don't know. We're gonna have to wait and see. I mean, up until this point, though, from a video game perspective, trying to bring it back, Hasn't the PlayStation been selling particularly well in this generation?
It actually, the Xbox One beat it for the first time. Beat it for the month for the first time.
Only just this month. They've been out for over a year.
I don't think, you know, the problem is that Sony has a toxic name, so it might have a short-term hurt. I don't know if it'll be a long-term hurt. I mean,
like, which is a shame, because up until, you know, just about the point when this happened, they were winning this current generation of console wars.
So we'll see. Like I said, Sony right now is very toxic to a lot of people, you know. Especially when you don't handle people's money, when you don't handle their credit card accounts, when you don't handle their member, they don't handle your membership correctly, and they expose
your data. I hate it when they don't handle my member correctly.
Okay. And who is they, sir?
Don't call me sir without knowing what you're talking about.
Anyways, when they don't handle membership accounts correctly, you know, and the thing is, like I said, this isn't the first time. This is now the second time, and they haven't really done anything, you know? And the word that I keep seeing online regarding Sony in this is arrogant. You know, they just don't think that they could be hurt again like that, you know, like as a one-off, you know? But apparently they are not. And there was this article that talks about Japan as a whole, and a lot of Japanese what do they call them? Prognosticators, you know, people who
prognosticators.
Oh, in a Japanese business, you know what I'm talking about. They discuss you know, Japan's business future, and they say that Japan is still too behind on online, you know, and they have to catch up, you know, because it's not just Sony that's vulnerable, you know.
Oh, it's all of Japan.
Yeah. Here's the funny, well, not the funniest, but the most tragic part. When you go into Sony's system, right? You know how you find their passwords?
How?
There's a file called passwords.
Nah.
And there's a file called PSN passwords. And the file, you know, it's like someone had a bank having the vault door open and putting bags of money with the dollar sign on it. You know, sort of like, here it is.
You know, yeah, that doesn't sound like the greatest idea they could have had.
I think their password is swordfish or something. I don't know. Anyway, it's just so backwards, you know? And it's taken, you know, it took... I'm not going to pile on Sony now, but, you know, it took them forever to get PlayStation Network up to modern specs, and Nintendo still hasn't figured it out either, you know? So it's
hey, this is a Sony story. Let's not start bashing Nintendo.
I'm not bashing Nintendo. I'm just saying the Nintendo eShop could be more, and it isn't. Let's just put it that way. I mean, it could be more robust. Let's put it that way. Anyways, we're going to move on to game news after we spend a long time on this. But you know what? Everybody, we'd love to hear what you have to think about this, about, and if it's affected you, you know, let us know. If it affects you, your opinion on Sony, the movie-making industry, you know, how it affects video games, you know. I'd love to hear what you think about it, because this is a topic that everybody has an opinion on.
I mean, because it would be impossible to say that you are not affected by one of the three major entertainment companies having a problem like this.
Yeah. Or at least if you're a moviegoer and you're curious about the interview, you know. So, anyways, we're going to move on to game news. Massive patch for Assassin's Creed Unity issued, and this comes to us from Kotaku. Patch 4 for Ubisoft's premier fall 2014 release, Assassin's Creed Unity, is out for Xbox One and PS4, and it'll be on the PC sometime today. It's big. Ubisoft explained the need for a supersized patch on the official Assassin's Creed website, part of the team's effort to enhance frame rate for players involved replacing and updating portions of the Paris City map, which were seeing issues. This explains the size of the title update, 6.7 gigabytes. However, since a large portion of this patch replaces existing files, the net increase in the game's overall size will be less than 6.7 gigabytes. However, the patch on the Xbox One is 40 gigabytes, which is about the size of the game itself. And initially, Ubisoft said that can't be right, it must be a mystery, but then they said, oh, you know what, yeah, it's 40 gigabytes. So, yeah, I mean, I know, Paul, that you have a certain place in hell for people who don't release finished games, you know, that they have to constantly update it. And this is the fourth update.
Yeah, I mean, I'm... You know, first, you know, it's not a secret to anybody who regularly listens to the show that I'm not particularly a fan of Assassin's Creed to begin with. And I just get really bothered when I have to spend an entire afternoon downloading patches before I can play a game that
especially
I just bought.
Especially if it's day one, right?
Oh, it's worse if it's day one. It's worse than it's day one. That just means it speaks to poor management.
Yeah, I you know, 40 gigabytes, really? I mean, if they're just replacing textures, I mean, textures.
See, that's
go ahead.
That's the part of it that really irritates the crap out of me. I'm not even getting new content for that. I'm just getting better looking versions of old content. Graphics do not save games with inferior gameplay.
Well, it is.
I'm sorry, they just don't.
It's more like, I believe there's clipping and all that. I mean, it isn't just the textures. I mean, there's a whole laundry list of issues with Assassin's Creed Unity, and it was blasted because it was so buggy when it was released. But here's the thing. Suppose you bought Assassin's Creed Unity on disc, right?
Okay, let's just pretend that I would do such a thing.
Someone bought it on disc.
I have my pretending hat on.
And suddenly, even though they bought the disc, they have to put 40 gigabytes of the game on. They're getting a digital game now that they still have to check on disc, and it's taking up 40 gigabytes of valuable hard drive space.
Yeah, and you know what? I wouldn't be fantastically surprised if this was done on purpose as some kind of convoluted DRM.
Well, on the PS4 and the PC, well, not the PC, because that's... on the PS4, it's only 6.7 gigabytes. And the Xbox One has a better copy protection than the PlayStation.
Yeah, it's only 6.7 gig, but to put that in perspective, the original Zelda was 7K worth of code. I mean, let's just put that in perspective.
Yeah.
To anyone who's played the original game... You could play that thing for hours, and there's all this extra crap that comes with, console games now. How long can you play Assassin's Creed Unity? What is there, like 10, 12 hours of gameplay?
Oh, no, there's extended gameplay. I mean, there's new game plus.
Did you have to buy it?
I didn't buy it.
Did you have to buy it digitally for an extra cost?
No. If you bought it digitally, it's the same price.
I mean, downloadable content as an add-on.
I don't know if there's DLC. There probably is. They always have DLC for Assassin's Creed. I'm pretty sure there's DLC planned.
My point is, these patches seem to me to be far too large to be spent only on visual updates, and it wouldn't be worth it. This to me speaks
not
of
only
a poorly
visual
bad.
Updates, like this, that,
to,
yeah.
This to me speaks of a poorly made game.
Well,
that's just what I, as a game player, pick up from it.
Well, you know, Assassin's Creed has become a yearly release, so you have to imagine what the turnaround might be like.
Well, yeah, but that you're not just spending 1 year making these games. You should be spending 2 and 3 years making this game and having several of them in staggered succession. If that's your plan, you can't just crap out a game in 9 months because what you're going to crap out, well, is crap.
You'll have to ask Ubisoft about that.
I don't know. It just seems like a poorly made development decision.
We can move on to the next news item. Go ahead.
Blizzard considering gold for game time trades in World of Warcraft, and this comes to us from Ars Technica. For its more than 10-year existence, World of Warcraft has operated in two parallel economies, the in-game economy of gold exchanged for items, and the real-world economy of dollars and other hard currencies exchanged for monthly game time subscriptions. Now, Blizzard says it's considering bringing those two economies together through some sort of exchange in 2015. According to Blizzard's blog, quote, "We're exploring the possibility of giving players a way to buy tradable game time tokens for the purpose of exchanging them in-game with other players for gold. Or our current thought in this is that it would give players a way to use their surplus gold to cover some of their subscription costs while giving players who might have less playtime an option for acquiring gold from other players through a legit and secure system." As Blizzard points out, some other MMOs have a similar option. EVE Online might have might be the prototypical example where the relationship between in-game Aurum and game time granting pilot license extensions helps create a robust economy where virtual items have real-world value. Diablo 3's real money auction house was a debacle that almost single-handedly ruined the game's balance before it was finally killed for good earlier this year.
You know, that might be the best reading of any article I've heard from you yet.
It might have been because I took my time and read it slowly, yeah. and there were no unfamiliar Japanese names.
Right. Well, you're familiar with trading in gold for items as you're playing Dungeon Keeper there.
Absolutely. And you know what? We even did this back in my time at Disney on Pixie Hollow, the Tinkerbell MMO. Hmm. You know, we had our own microtransaction currency, and players could run around collecting our soft currencies, which were, you know, spider webs and rose petals and what have you, and trade them in into the machine, make fairy diamonds out of them, which were the hard currency. So, yeah, I'm not surprised to see these things in business models. I mean, what we did as a solution was to ensure that players could only get X number of diamonds out of this, you know, narrative contraption every day. I think it was like 2 or 3.
The thing I'm thinking about are gold farmers in World of Warcraft. Now it's going to take it to a whole new level. Although, if you're paying for gold, then it's sort of like a zero sum. You know, you're paying for gold to pay for your subscription. That makes no sense.
Well, I mean, how much is a subscription a month? $40, maybe?
40?
I'm saying at its most,
it's always been
at its most insane price, can't be more than $40.
Right? It's $15 per month, if I remember correctly.
All right, so fine, I'll cut my number in half. Let's say at most it's $20 with international exchange rates and what have you.
Okay.
So, really, that'll buy you like a casual using experience. Think of how much gold you could earn in a full month of gameplay time if you were a gold farmer.
Mm.
I mean, if you can buy time with in-game gold, I mean, really, all that does is lower the overhead for the gold farmers.
I mean, there are people. You know, I've never had excess gold. I've never been that kind of player, you know. But I do wonder, you know, about guilds, you know, who stockpile this stuff.
But here's the thing. If you're going to pay $20 a month for a subscription and you can only play an hour and a half a day, why not be able to sell the extra, you know, 90 hours worth of gameplay time that you're not going to be able to use to somebody else?
Well, remember, they also had that real money auction house. So I wonder how it'll change the World of Warcraft economy, right?
That's the thing. I'm not necessarily sure that it will change the overall economy.
People will have less gold to spend on items in the auction houses, you know?
Yeah, but I think we should start to look at that is what is the, you know, how many total hours are playable in a month?
Mm.
You know, if you remove sleep and eating time and then, you know, divide that up by your $20 a month.
I think, you know, now that I think it might be more of a sideways move anyway. I don't think you'll be able to get that much free time out of it. But it still would be a good way to, you know, you have all this gold, you have nothing to do with it, you know, because all you do is raid and you play a multiplayer, you know, you play a play versus player and, you know, you've done all the exploration and all that stuff. And all you do now is raid and PvP. So I guess if you get gold and you're earning stuff that you know, that you don't need to purchase with gold, you know, you can't purchase with gold, you know, it might be like, I have all this gold. What am I going to do with it? Oh, I might as well.
And it's like, oh, well, at least I don't have to pay my $20 a month for a
subscription. Or pay a portion of it. Like, instead of paying 15, you pay 10.
Right. And it seems to me that, like, it won't really drastically impact the economy necessarily, but it might, it might make the game more attractive for the heavy, hardcore users that have already put, I'm sure, thousands of dollars into this
product. I think that's the only people this is going to appeal to, really. I mean, if they're probably the only ones who are generating enough gold to, and I guess if you do that, you're actually keeping your core players invested.
And that's exactly what you want to do. You want to keep the guild leaders, the promoters, the hardcore users in the game for as long as possible. It's almost as if it's making it free to play exclusively for the people who want to devote a great deal of time to it.
All right.
get
wrong. And it benefits everyone who doesn't have a great deal of time to devote to it, like, you know, game makers who have to work 60 hours a week. Just saying as one example. it benefits those of us who can only play an hour a day. So that, hey, yeah, we could buy stuff. We can keep our warriors properly supplied.
Some of the people at at Blizzard consider me one of the quote-unquote core gamers because I was there when they introduced it at E3, and I was also there at launch, you know, even though I haven't played in years. But I'm the core casual World of Warcraft player. I may get back.
When was the last time you played World of Warcraft, Jonah? Oh,
God, I think maybe 5 years ago.
Yeah, you are not any kind of considered player to the World of Warcraft.
Let me
point that out to you right now.
MMO player. Let me put it that way.
You're a lost player. That's what you are. You are a former client.
I did not play the Mists of Pandaria expansion. I did the one before that. So
you are a former client. Your game is not up to date. You are not on their metrics.
I need to get a new authenticator too. I can't find the authenticator anywhere. And the thing about that is I can't play Diablo 3 without it. Not that I'm in a tearing rush to, but, you know, I could always ask Gil for a new one. Oh, well. Anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. Valve returns Hatred to Greenlight after removal, and this comes from some games industry biz. A few days ago, Valve made the decision to remove Hatred from the Steam on the same day its developers began a Greenlight campaign, indicating that it found content so distasteful that it wouldn't want to distribute it. Hatred is being developed by Polish studio Destructive Creations, which describes the game as possessing, quote, a disturbing atmosphere of mass killing, where the player takes on the role of a cold-blooded antagonist who is full of hatred for humanity. On the initial release, the game's trailer attracted both attention and criticism for its graphic portrayal of the murder and execution of civilians as the player character engages in a shooting spree. They also shoot police who are trying to stop them and all that stuff. However, Hatred has been restored to Steam Greenlight. The developer posted a message to its Facebook page, which claims to be an email from Gabe Newell. Yesterday, I heard that they were taking Hatred down from Greenlight, the statement reads. Since I wasn't up to speed, I asked around internally to find out why we had done that. It turns out that it wasn't a good decision, and we'll be putting Hatred back up. My apologies to you and your team. Steam is about creating tools for content creators and customers. Good luck with your game, Gabe. Now, the one thing that the developer noted is that games like Postal, you know, and those other hardcore games in which you're killing innocent people are on Steam. So it would look a little hypocritical if they didn't allow this game on, despite the content, you know.
Well, here's my artistic viewpoint. Steam does not have to deal with overhead issues in the way that your big box stores, like your Targets and your Walmarts, are going to have to. So they can afford to carry extremely niche or artistic products, because really all it costs them is a little bit of server space. Nowhere near
the
amount of resources that go into a big box
store. Yeah, it's literally like Walmart won't sell porn in their video section, but smaller stores, you know, other stores will because they can.
Absolutely. And you know what? As long as there is a market for it, Steam should not be censoring any kind of content. I think that goes as far as adults-only games, as long as there's some kind of age verification to protect our minors. But we should not be censoring video games because it's an art form.
Right.
So I think that Steam, of all people, shouldn't be censoring video games. And I'm glad they rescinded their decision.
You know, the thing is that I do find the game extremely distasteful, and I wouldn't touch it with a 50-foot.
You know what? I 100% would probably agree with you. I haven't seen this particular title, and I 100% would probably agree with you, just knowing how our tastes are often similar in these matters. However, that doesn't mean that there shouldn't be a place in the marketplace for something that I personally find disturbing, especially if it's trying to make an artistic point. I played a video game doing some research that was about, you were playing the role of a mother and you had a baby on your shoulder, right? And you were trying to press the keyboard rhythmically to try to keep the baby quiet because you could see the window behind you because you were a woman in Rwanda. And if you didn't keep your baby quiet, the soldiers would come in and murder you. I mean, sometimes video games are used as a form of artistic expression. And this was brilliant. And I was affected by it. And if we're going to censor our marketplace,
I don't think Citrus had any high goals. I think it was just you're allowed to kill people and that's it. But the thing is that, you know, I mean, there, that in itself is a statement, by the way. But like I said, you know, I mean, in Germany, this would not be able to be sold at all. They would not allow it one not even in a second, right? And, you know, maybe people are bored of having to kill zombies and robots, you know, things that you can kill without regret because they're not humans. You know, I want to kill people, you know.
Yeah, I know. Frankly, personally, I'm a little bored of zombies for that very reason.
Yeah. The thing is that, you know, now the one thing that I would find cross the line is that if there's no consequences for your actions, you know, then I would have a problem with it. For instance, you could do things in Grand Theft Auto, right? However, the more violent you become, the more the police are after you, and then you get busted or killed by the police, you know? So there's consequences to your actions, you know? So if it's not just a straight up, hey, look, I'm going to shoot people on the screen, you know, and has no artistic merit and all that stuff, then I would have a problem. But, you know, in this game, apparently, you know, you can be hunted down by the police and you have to kill the police, too, before they kill you. I mean, that's another, you know, but at least there are consequences to your actions. You're not doing this in a vacuum like some, you know, I know about these neo-Nazi games, you know, in which they deny the Holocaust. But one of their games is that you march Jews into gas chambers. Right. And they call it a fantasy because, of course, the Holocaust never happened. But, you know, we're going to pretend it did and do it in this game, you know. So, you know, like I said, I won't buy it if other people want to buy it. Fine with them. You know, it's their money and it's their desire and they're adults. And by the way, you know, this doesn't mean that people are going to emulate the game either, which is the problem that I have. You know, the real problem I have is that people who are not informed are going to think that this will influence people to do the same thing, and that's absolutely not true.
Right, now, yeah, exactly. They wouldn't, not any more than reading, you know, Fahrenheit 451 would encourage people to go out and burn books.
Yeah. Or, you know, or pornos will influence people to go out and have sex. Oh, wait a minute.
With the pool boy, I mean...
Well, you know.
Well, I mean, okay. watching large amounts of pornography doesn't incentivize someone to go out and hire a pool boy so that they can then have sex with them.
Especially if they don't have a pool.
Or consistently order a pizza, hoping to get it on with their driver. I mean, I'm really tired of people attacking. I'm really tired of people attacking all forms of art, whether it's, you know, video games, or before us it was rock and roll music, and before that it was comic books. Like, I'm just tired of it. Like, people need to realize that any attack on artistic forms of expression is a form of tyranny.
Yeah, but you know,
that's how you have a dictatorship.
We still have the double standard because, you know, violence is fine and dandy on Steam, but God forbid you should have sex.
I don't even get me started on the double standard between sex and violence.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
I can't, like, it's not just on Steam.
I know.
I'll leave it at that.
Video games are our medium, so I'm just saying that now. Because the thing is, there was another story which I did not do, which was because I think it was last week, in which Apple was banning a game for quote unquote nudity, even though it wasn't really nudity, you know. So,
please, I'm still pissed. I'm still aggravated at big box stores like Target and Walmart for the same reason. Mm. Like, you don't get to censor artistic material.
Okay, you know what? We're going to go to a lighter topic that'll make us happy. How's that?
Oh, please, because I'm so ready to spit nails right now.
Go ahead with the next news item.
Humble Bundle has raised over $50 million, and this comes to us from Games Industry Biz. Humble Bundle, which launched back in 2010, has announced a new milestone. Over $50 million have been raised for charities to date. The digital distributor, which allows consumers to pay what they want and decide how to divide the money between content creators, charity, and a humble tip, has leveraged its community to raise money for more than 50 charitable organizations, including Child's Play Charity, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, the American Red Cross Charity, Water, and Doctors Without Borders / Medications Sans Frontiers. Medicini Sans Frontiers. Quote, we never imagined after the first humble indie bundle that we might one day reach this milestone, said John Graham, co-founder and COO of Humble Bundle. It is hard to truly comprehend the magnitude of $50 million for charity. We owe our thanks to the generosity of the Humble Bundle community, to the content creators who entrust us with their works of art, and to the consumers for making this possible. In addition to the indie bundles, the Humble Store was launched in 2013, offering digital games at deep discounts. 10% of all Humble Store purchases support select charities, and the store reached the $1 million for charity milestone in June of 2014. Wow. Okay, that's they've done $49 million in charitable donations since June of this year. That's insane. Humble Bundle has also expanded beyond PC games, offering mobile games, audiobooks, and ebooks. Ooh, I think I might be I think I might know what I've been doing with my novel.
Yeah, that's true. And the thing is that not all these games are indie bundles. Like, I remember Electronic Arts did their Origin bundle and included games like Dead Space, Dead Space 3, you know, which was a new game at the time, you know. And this goes two ways, by the way. Not only are you giving to charities, but there's a lot of people who cannot afford our hobby, you know, in which they can only get, say, one game every few months because they can't afford spending $60 on something.
Are you kidding? I can't afford spending $60 on games a week.
But, you know, they can donate whatever they want. You know, they could donate a penny if they wanted to and get the games. But usually people actually, you know, and what's heartwarming is that people often pay at the suggested price, and also some of them go over, because what you can do is you can check the donations, and you'll see some people donating $300, $400, $500 for their bundles, which is more than all the games put together. But they're not only buying games, and that's the other thing, is that it's very easy to gift these things too, because they give you codes. So you may just gift to the charity and then hand the codes out yourself, you know, to other people.
Absolutely. And you know what? This kind of restores my faith in humanity, and especially around this time of year, it's kind of important. Because, you know, why wouldn't you support something that you believe in?
And also, it also gives major, you know, quote-unquote faceless publishers like Electronic Arts the ability to give to charity as well and have people, you know, play their games. And the thing is, you know what? We've said this... I don't know if you're here, but I know that Derek and Jennifer said this, that, you know, when you buy a game, that's an advertisement for the rest of that publisher's games, you know? You buy a game, you like it, you know, you see, oh, what else do they do? Especially if they're sequels, you know? Say you buy, I know you don't like Assassin's Creed, but I'm going to give this example. Suppose you buy Assassin's Creed, you like it, you'll say, oh, I want more of that. Oh, Assassin's Creed 2, I'll buy that too. Or Portal. Like, Valve gave away Portal for free. Because they wanted people to buy Portal 2.
I could completely understand that. It's brilliant marketing. You know, they say to do similar things in the world of self-publishing on ebooks.
Yeah.
You know, if you write a novel and you're going to publish it yourself, you know, write a short story and give it to people for free.
Yeah.
You know, and then that way you can direct them back to your larger work.
And you know what? Our question of the week is related to this, too.
Yeah, well, I look forward to getting there.
So first we're going to have listener feedback. And guess what? We have two people that have never written in before.
We have virgins.
Is that your stand-up
reaction? I was just thinking of a funny way that I could say that.
Anyways, go ahead, Paul.
From Jeremiah on episode 370. First, I want to apologize for not commenting much, but I tend to be too shy to comment. And I didn't get your podcast because I have been with my family doing a vacation type thing for a few weeks.
Yeah, so have we, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry about it. We've got lives too. It's okay, Jeremiah. I feel like your comments on this, though, have garnered my responses. About Nintendo, I feel like they are trying to make a bit of a fuss over something that was not very big of a fuss in the first place.
Oh, we have to remember what story that was.
Me too. About EA, I have a number of friends that work for EA here in Orlando. Mostly they worked on Tiger Woods games back in the day and now work with Madden games. I love that you all commented on this and brought it to light for your followers. I really like that they truly care about their employees. I think you missed the nail when you say that you think BioWare was inclusive before EA was involved.
Okay, on the Nintendo thing, it was the Nintendo patents for Game Boy emulation on mobile devices.
And
Yeah, and of course, this is for EA being named one of the best places for LGBT equality.
Yes, but I knew that that's what that was about. On Sony settling, these ads were quite frustrating to understand as a consumer, and luckily, I was not willing to buy their pitch. The advertising agency Deutsch was quite poorly represented before they even posted those Twitter comments. Barring them from repeating the exact point, I feel, doesn't exactly prevent them from doing the same thing again. Something I feel like they may do in order to make more money. You really do nail it when you say you've only, quote, got caught.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's what's going on right now with Sony is a more of, oh, they just got caught. You know?
No. So, I mean, yes, but it wasn't, you know, I've heard through Facebook and some other social media people questioning whether or not this whole thing about the interview was, you know, staged or planned as some kind of, Sony mass market guerrilla campaign. And I just want to say to those people, you're freaking crazy. Like, that's just insane. The number of Sony employees that have been personally affected by this absolutely no control on decision making is staggering.
I doubt Scott Rudin and the other guy, John Peters, wanted their emails commenting on Obama to be released.
Yeah, like, do you really think that the poor receptionist who has to answer phones for a living is not affected by this? No, everybody's was affected by this. The janitor was affected by this.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to move on to the next item from Jacosis. Hello, guys. First of all, I'm not a native English speaker, so excuse me if some of the sentences sound horrible. Big smiley face. Just so you know, he's German. So.
Oi.
I really enjoy... You know, the other guy was talking about Deutsch as well. I wonder if they're both German.
No, Deutsch is the name of a giant advertising agency that was behind the Sony problem.
Okay. I really enjoy every episode of your stream. Thank you for taking the time to do such a nice podcast. Well, thank you.
Aw. I think you might be my new best friend.
In the latest episode, you asked the listener to comment about Ono mentioned that there will be no pay to win in Street Fighter V. I'm a huge fan of Street Fighter since I played it since the first time on the Super Nintendo. I think it's called the Super Famicom in the U.S.
That's Japan you're thinking of.
Regarding Street Fighter 4 and all the updates, Ultra, Super, and so on, there is no opportunity to pay to win. The only thing you can buy are other costumes and stuff like that. All balancing is for free, which means you can't buy an updated version of the character to make it stronger. If you have a newer version of the game, for example, the latest one, Ultra Street Fighter 4, you're only able to use the new characters against other people who got the game. But if you have the opportunity to select an older version of the game before you look online for opponents, this means a person who has not the newest version of the game, and with this, neither the new players is not able to play against other players with the new version. So what you're saying, basically, is if you have all the new characters, you can't play those new characters against people who don't have the older version of the game. You know?
Yeah, it's like Fable, when if you want to connect with someone, you have to wait for them to have the same DRL as you.
Yeah,
I mean, DLC is you.
I mean, you could play with the older versions of the people with the other people with the older versions. It's just everybody is on the same level.
Right. We're going to treat everybody fairly. I enjoy such things. Thank you for letting us know about that.
This means the person who is not the newest version of the game, and with this, neither new character is not able to play against the player with the new version. He is only able to play against other players with the same version of the game, so it's not pay to win. Except you feel like a winner when your character has another costume. Belonging to your question of the week, my favorite monster is not a real monster. It's only a giant turtle. Grosha Tween. I don't know if it has the same name in the English version, but it's the giant turtle from Discworld, on which the back is standing on the four giants which carry the Discworld. That, for those of you who don't know, that's Larry Niven's books, you know, based on the Discworld. I haven't read.
Oh, and they actually have movies on Netflix based on it as well.
Really? They have Discworld movies?
I've seen one. The guy's the world's first tourist. His luggage follows him around on spider legs.
Oh, okay. So I know about the Discworld series and that Larry Niven was behind it. I just never read the books. Okay, I really like giant things such as this out-of-the-world turtle. It's so smooth and gentle. I think he's talking about something else.
Well, if you like giant things.
I think he's thinking about something that's smooth and gentle, and it's a turtle. I have two questions for you. Okay, ready? Is there any possibility to get older episodes than the ones in the iTunes podcast? No.
Do you have saved files that you could repost them as a flashback?
No, I mean the older files are with the previous podcast. I only have the ones from, you know, here.
You only have the ones from like when I started?
Yeah, actually later than that, because only recently did Podbean start, you know, not having a space restriction instead of having, you know, the number of the size of the episodes that you have in stock. It's more now the amount of downloads that you get. So I'm able to keep on the older ones, you know, I think like up to like 250, you know, I'm just saying the last 100 episodes are there about, and the rest.
And that is, I mean, that's the last 2 years worth of the show, folks.
Yeah.
I mean, if you love us more than that, well, you got to write in a little more. Let us know.
You know, I was actually thinking of maybe posting the old episodes on YouTube, you know, with a little logo. But that takes a lot.
So that people can go back to my send me your hate gag? See, our longtime listeners are going to remember that one.
Yeah. The second
one. Send me your hate.
Second one. Do you have experience in upscaling devices so I can play my old consoles like NES and Master System on a new plasma TV? A friend told me about this site, and he gives a German site, retrogaming.hazardcity.de, which is a German site.
Hazard-city.de.
But I hope he may have some experience already and can share them with me. Paul, you're the one who plays NES games, Nintendo games.
Well, here's what I've done. I've gone out to my local game store, my local like GameStop competitor, a private store that has a second sale market, and will still sell, for example, old NES cartridges for like $3.
Right.
And I've gotten one of these 3-in-1, 5-in-1 kind of combination systems. Apparently, all of the patenting or whatever technological patent for the original NES, the Super Nintendo, the Sega Genesis, all of those older systems has run out. And so you're now allowed to legally buy one of these, you know, 5-in-1 console systems to play all your old games. I'm almost done. I've had really great success in using that on a wide, you know, on a current widescreen TV.
Is using his actual NES and Sega Master System and playing them on a plasma TV, you know, an HD TV or something like that.
I haven't tried to do that. I don't know that the original Nintendo can do that. If I had a second, I could run and go look at my original console to see what kind of audio visual ports it's got in the back.
The NES I have used the RF, you know, which is sort of like.
Okay, I mean, I might have only at maybe a tender young age only have known one way to hook it up to the TV. But as long as it's got like those red and yellow access ports back there, I don't see why not.
Well, the problem with that though is he's talking about upscaling, because if you play a console with super low, you know, resolution, and you play it on something that's 1080p, a 1080p TV, it's going to look really bad.
But, you know, it would probably, knowing the older hardware, it would probably stretch it out in proportion to the top and bottom of the game screen. But it would stretch it out in proportion. So it would look kind of like, you know, My Little Pony Friendship is Magic or one of these Flash cartoons, you know?
You know what you could do, though? I'm willing to bet you there are adapters out there somewhere that allow you to do it.
I wouldn't be surprised. Here's my experience. Plug it in, see if it works. If not, go complain to somebody at Best Buy.
Or, you know,
and they'll be more than happy to sell you something.
Yeah. You know, that reminds me. I was so tempted to pick up this ColecoVision, you know, bundle thing. You know, that had about like 50 games from the ColecoVision in one box, you know. And that was the console I had just before the NES, you know. I was so tempted to pick it up. You know, anyways, we're going to move on to the question of the week. And the question of the week is very simple. Have you used Humble Bundle? So, Paul, have you used the Humble Bundle?
I actually have not.
Okay. Well, it's very simple. You go to humblebundle.com and there's several tabs, you know, several pages. You have the weekly Humble Bundle. You have the Humble Bundle for, you know, special. Now you have the audiobook and the ebook pages, you know, and I haven't seen anything in the audiobooks that I want yet. I'm still waiting for something that, you know, that appeals to me. And anyways, yes, I have, and like I've used it quite often, and I've stopped using it because here's the problem: is I get a Humble Bundle, I get 8 games for $6, and I never can play them because I don't have the time. So I have 8 games. I play one of them a bit, and the rest just gather dust because I really, you know, it's so you get all these games like too much. I can't play them all, and I do plan to play some of them. I mean, you know. But it's still a great service. Anyways, so that's the question of the week. Have you used Humble Bundle? So look for our show.
No, I have not.
So look for our show. Go ahead.
That is the answer of the week. Okay. No, I have not.
But you said you will now, or at least invest.
I might have to go see.
You might press on the link and ask them about including your ebooks on another bundle.
Is that I might look into it. I might look into it. Just, you know, I would only do that once I had it also on Amazon somewhere. So if somebody really wanted to, you know, just to reach out again to those users on Humble Bundle.
Is your book on Amazon or is it still on that publisher's site?
No, not yet.
Okay.
It's, it's the one on that publisher site is so out of date that, like, you might as well not even read it. I just kind of have it there because
you want people to see the sample.
Yeah,
it's free. That's why. Anyway, look for our show notes at gamingpodcast.net, along with industry news and our gaming history articles. You enjoy your feedback, so leave us comments on our blog at gamingpodcast.net. Also, hit us up at facebook.com/gamingpodcast and the forums at gamingpodcast.net/forum. Or send your comments to fans@gamingpodcast.net. And please subscribe to us on iTunes and leave us some iTunes comments because we like iTunes comments. A lot.
This is true. We like iTunes comments.
Okay. Anyways, we probably won't see you. If we don't see you next week, Happy New Year. And we'll probably see you in 2015. Fresh in
it. New Year.
And the question of the week for next week will probably be what your New Year's resolutions are. So.
Look at that. You're getting a sneak peek at the question of the week.
Yeah. Anyways, like I said, new reader. I mean, old listeners, first time. Write in because we want to hear from you. It's nice to hear from older reader, you know, a veteran, you know.
We need to be reminded why we do this show, guys. Come on. Yeah. Paul's losing faith here.
And also, you really should send him hate mail because that's what he craves.
Oh, okay. So for any of our newer listeners, when I first joined the podcast, I used to do this shtick. That's like a running gag for anyone who doesn't speak Yiddish. I used to do this shtick. About how I would know that I was a successful person, a successful game maker, a successful podcaster, when I started receiving my first pieces of hate mail. Because that way I would know that, you know, even people who didn't like me, I was important enough to disagree with.
But he got
and
the
I never, and I kept asking mail. For hate mail. I kept asking for hate mail, and nobody ever sent me any.
No, but they sent you love mail.
They sent me love mail. I eventually got tired of the running gag and stopped doing it, but maybe I'll bring it back.
Okay, well, just send us mail, period. How about that? Anyways, we will see you in either next week or 2015.
Bye, Bonds.